Wow. What a powder shell. It's like a mini Torah all in one go, isn't it? It's really great. So it'll be interesting to what I'm going to focus on. Let us pray. Abba Father, I pray that you'll open our eyes so that we can see the wondrous things from your Torah today. There has been so much in there. But I pray that the words that you've given me that will come forth from my mouth and the thoughts that have come from my heart will be acceptable in your heart, O Lord. Because you, Yehovah, are my rock and my redeemer. I ask this in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Well, I've actually titled it, my message, Shattered on the Rock or Crushed Beneath Its Weight, which to be what? Because we started our reading today commencing with a blessing or a curse. What do you want? Do you want to be blessed? Do you want to follow Torah and be blessed? Or do you want the curse? Can we start with Deuteronomy 11, 26 to 28, please? Paul Malachy is doing it all by himself today. The people that he's usually got helping him on the desk aren't here. And so when you've got two or three guys up there, it helps. And if things go wrong, there's someone else that's there with their finger on the spot. But at the moment, he's doing his best and he's doing a great job. Don't you agree? If you're doing the best you can do, no matter what it is, you're doing excellently. So I'm sure you'll be patient with him. He's doing a mighty job. Once he gets the first slide up, they'll all come. I'm sure. He's got a PowerPoint there. Ha, first slide coming up. Here we go. Not that one. There we go. That's the wrong one. '26 to '28. You want to stand up and move around, feel free. It's hard sitting there all the time. I know I stand most of the day, but it must be hard sitting all the time. Those children are amazing. Have you found it, honey? Well, I just go without it. Do you want me to go without it? Pardon?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, the Devarim or Deuteronomy 11, 26 to 28 says, "See, I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you listen to the mitzvot of Yehovah, your Elohim, that I'm giving you today, and the curse, if you don't listen to the mitzvot of Yehovah, your Elohim. Turn aside from the way I'm ordering you today and follow other gods that you have not known." So if we don't observe Yehovah's Torah and follow other gods, and there's many gods and idols in this world today that people are following, then the result is a curse. So we've either got this choice. We either want to believe and receive the blessing, or we want to turn away from his teaching and receive the curse. I know what I want, and I'm sure everyone sitting here and watching online wouldn't be there if they didn't want to receive the blessing. In Matityahu 21, 42 to 43, Yeshua says, "Haven't you ever read in the Tanakh that the very rock which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This has come from Yehovah, and in our eyes it is amazing. Therefore I tell you that the kingdom of Elohim will be taken away from you and given to the kind of people that will produce its fruit. So Yeshua was telling them that they have to follow Torah, otherwise they will not receive the fruit that is produced from it. And further down in verse 44, it says, "And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." Now, that is found in verse 44 is found in virtually every scripture and every different version of scripture, except in the Complete Jewish Bible. It just misses it completely on one of their versions, not all of their versions, but one of their versions. The old Syriac 5th century Sinaiticus in the Aramaic omits verse 44. So whether they've taken it from that, I'm not too sure. So I'll read 44 again, because to me it's really important. "Whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. In other words, if we put everything we've got and fall on to Yeshua HaMashiach, his way of life, his obedience to Torah, then we will be fine. Yes, our spirits, our old natures will be broken, and we will be a different person. But if we don't, then as we read in the Torah, that final judgment will come back on us. Everyone in life is faced with a decision. We have to decide what we are going to allow. Whether we allow the rock in our lives, which is Yeshua, and we must decide if that rock is going to be what represents the blessing or a cursing or mercy or judgment. It's up to us what we want it to be. Perhaps many of us have already come to this crossroads at some time in our past. Maybe all of us. But we don't always remain there. You may feel that you resolved this issue, that what I'm going to talk about is no interest to you. But I need to remind you today that the decision is not a one-time event. The decision regarding the rock and how we live according to Yeshua HaMashiach, how we live according to Torah, has to be an everyday decision. It's not a one-time decision. Yes, I've accepted Yeshua in my life, I don't have to do any more. It's a daily, one-time decision. So, who is the rock? According to Shaul, when he was speaking to the Messianic community at Corinth, in 1 Corinthians 10 and 1 to 4, if we got that, hallelujah. "For brothers, I don't want you to miss the significance of what happened to our fathers. All of them were guided by the pillar of cloud, and they all passed through the sea. And in connection with the cloud and with the sea, they are all immersed themselves into Moshe. Also, they all ate the same food from the Ruach, or the Spirit, and they drank the same drink from the Ruach, for they drank from a Ruach-sent rock which followed them, and that rock was the Messiah. The Messiah was with them all along the way, just as the Messiah was at creation. According to Yeshua's Talmudim Kepha, in Kepha Aleph, or 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, as you come to him, the living stone, once again, Yeshua is that stone or the rock, rejected by people, but chosen by Elohim, and be precious to him. And in verses 7 and 8, now to you who keep trusting, he is precious. But to those who are not trusting, this very stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Also, he is a stone that will make people stumble, a rock over which they will trip. They are stumbling at the word, disobeying it as it had been planned." Not everyone is meant to be a follower of Yeshua. We've all got family members that don't agree and that don't believe. We've all probably got family members completely in the opposite direction. I know I have. But there's nothing I can do. I've given them the message. I've shared my life. I mean, my own twin sister, raised with me, everything. Still, I can't get to make a clear decision. According to Shaul in his letter to the Messianic community in Rome, he said in Romans 9 and verse 33, as the Tanakh puts it, look, I am laying in Zion a stone that will make people stumble, a rock that will trip them up. But he who rests his trust on this, on it, will not be humiliated. Yes, we can feel humiliated by our family when we don't agree with what they're doing. But we shouldn't be. We should hold fast and know like we know like we know that it doesn't matter what they think about us. It's none of our business. They can think what they like, but we will not change. We will stay in tune with Torah and with Yeshua HaMashiach. And it's really difficult if you're a Jewish person that's accepted Yeshua. Because as far as Jewish people are concerned, if you accept Yeshua as your Messiah, in many cases, they will have a burial service for you. So they don't believe that you can believe in Yeshua and still be Torah observant. And that makes it difficult for all those living in that situation, because it puts their family at opposite ends of the plane to them. And they humiliate them, and they put them down, and they really treat them badly. But it's really amazing how it can take years and years. But one day they will come round. I have one cousin who made a comment just recently, who showed me that she was turning and accepting the fact that, yes, I am a Jew, even though I'm a believer. Because they just stop at one stage. But it's taken her 50 years to acknowledge that fact. Praise Yah. He is turning. He is turning the people towards him. According to King David, a man from Yah, and Yah himself said was a man after his own heart. Throughout his writing in the Psalms, we read many times, and I'm going to read you a lot of Psalms coming up. In Psalm 18 and verse 2, or Tehillim 18:2, King David says, Yehovah is my rock. He is my fortress and deliverer, my Elohim, my rock in whom I find shelter, my shield, the power who saves me. And further down in verse 31 of the same chapter, for who is Elohim but Yehovah? Who is a rock but our Elohim? Remembering rock and Yeshua are synonymous. They're one and the same. In 18 and verse 46, Yehovah is alive. Blessed is my rock. Exalted be the Elohim of my salvation. And in 28 verse 1, King David says, Yehovah, I am calling to you, my rock. Don't be deaf to my cry. If you answer me with silence, I will be like those who fall in a pit. And in verse 31, verses 2 and 3, turn your ear towards me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of strength, a fortress to keep me safe. Since you are my rock and fortress, lead me and guide me for your name's sake. There are so many scriptures that call on Yehovah to be our strength. In Tehillim 61 and verse 2, from the end of the earth with fainting heart, I call out to you, that is to Yehovah, set me down on a rock far above where I am now. And in 62 and verse 2, he alone is my rock and salvation, my stronghold. I won't be greatly moved. All of these scriptures are in your newsletter. And in 62, verse 6 and 7, He alone is my rock and salvation, my stronghold. I won't be moved. My safety and honor rest on Elohim. My strong rock and refuge are in Him. 71 and verse 3. Be for me a sheltering rock where I can always come. You have determined to save me because you are my bedrock and stronghold. 78 verse 35. Remembering that Elohim was their rock, El Elyon, that is the Most High God, their Redeemer. And in Psalm 89 verse 26. He will call to me because you are my Father, my Elohim, the rock of my salvation. In 92:15, proclaiming that Yehovah is upright, my rock in whom there is no wrong. 94:22, but Yehovah has become my stronghold, my Elohim is my rock of refuge. And in last one, 95 verse 1, come, let us sing to Yehovah. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. There is no excuse for any Jewish person to not accept Yeshua as their Messiah. There is no excuse when any of us get into any trouble in our life and have things going against us that we can't go to scriptures to call on our rock. Yeshua will always be there for us. Yehovah Elohim will always be there for one. As Yeshua said, the Father and I are one. When you are calling to Yeshua or calling to the Father, you're calling to them both when you have Yeshua in your life. Are you getting the message? Yeshua himself said it, not just I. And whenever we read of the Father in the Tanakh, we're also reading of Yeshua. Are you ready to get intimately acquainted with them this day? Because the rock is crying out for a spirit of brokenness to prevail. And we can praise Yah for Yeshua, that the time of mercy is now and with us and for us. But for that to happen, we must have brokenness within our spirits, because brokenness is actually mercy in action. Yah is tired of the same old repetitious sacrifices that we've offered for years. They are no longer offered from broken hearts, but from a sense of obligation. King David said in Tehillim Psalms 34 and 51, he said in 34:18, excuse me, Yehovah is near those with broken hearts. He saves those whose ruach, whose spirit is crushed. Sometimes we have to feel crushed before we can get to that brokenness to call out to him. In Tehillim Psalms 51, 16 and 17, and this is when King David was repenting of his sins with Bathsheba. For you don't want sacrifices, or I would give them. You don't take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice to Elohim is a broken ruach, a broken spirit. Elohim, you won't spurn a broken chastened heart. We have profaned Yehovah's altars with soiled sacrifices. The scriptures don't say that Elohim no longer wanted sacrifices. It says he no longer wants the same old sacrifices. Yah wants from each one of us the sacrifice of a broken, submitted heart and spirit. In the text from Matityahu, Yeshua gave us the recipe for satisfying Yehovah's hunger in this for brokenness. And it's really simple. So let's look at it again. At Matityahu 21:42-43. Yeshua said, haven't you ever read in the Tanakh The very rock which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This has come from Yehovah, and in our eyes it is amazing. Therefore I tell you that the kingdom of Elohim will be taken away from you and given to the kind of people that will produce its fruit. So unless we're producing the fruit, it will be taken away. And in verse 44, and whoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. We have to fall headlong on that stone, the stumbling stone, the rock of our salvation. We have to fall on him, because if we don't, sooner or later, we will meet the rock in judgment, and he will fall on us. Everyone, it doesn't matter whether we are a believer or a non-believer, we will all face judgment. Everyone who's put you down for any reason, especially for being a believer, anyone who tries to put you down for observing Shabbat and not Sunday church, they have to face judgment. Everyone that's quoted scripture to you to say that you're doing the wrong thing, they are judging you, that judgment will be on them. We have to look at our own selves. We can't allow others to judge us, because Yehovah says that, you know, he will judge. He will be the one that the judgment will have fall on us, and then we will be ground to powder. Then we will be destroyed if we have done the wrong thing, or if we've taught the wrong thing. The choice is ours. Will we be shattered on the rock or crushed beneath its weight? Will we encounter mercy or will we encounter judgment? Will Yeshua be the rock of our salvation or the rock of our damnation? The choice is ours. The difference between King Asa and King David, or King David, was one of willing to be broken at the word of a prophet. They didn't have scripture like we have it today. They had the Torah, the Tanakh, but it was a little bit different. It was the kings that used to write the Torah out. It was the kings that read the Torah. It was the Levi'im. It wasn't the everyday people. They had to trust the prophets and listen to what the prophets told them, because the prophets spoke, Yah spoke to the prophets and then sent them out. In 2 Chronicles 14 and verse 2, Asa did what was good and right from the perspective of Yehovah his Elohim. He was good to start with. In 14:11, Asa cried out to Yehovah his Elohim, Yehovah, there is no one besides yourself, strong or weak, who can help. Help us, Yehovah our Elohim, because we are relying on you. We are coming against this vast throng in your name. You are Yehovah Elohim. Don't let human beings stop you. And then when we get to the next chapter, in chapter 15 and verse 8, when Asa heard the words, these words prophesied by Oded the prophet, it gave him courage to throw the disgusting things out of the whole land of Yehuda and Binyamin, and out of the cities he had captured in the hills of Ephraim. He also renewed the altars of Yehovah, which were in front of the vestibule of Yehovah. And in verse 12, and they entered into a covenant to seek Yehovah, the Elohim of their ancestors, with all their heart and with all their being. So with that, they received the blessing. The blessings fell on verse 19. There was no more war through to the 35th year of Asa's reign. So King Asa reigned for 35 years and received the blessings. But then things changed. Be careful when there's too much peace in your life. Asa lived at peace and he thought everything was fine. He could do what he wanted. So when things are going well in our lives, we can become complacent and step outside of Yehovah's covering. If we go into 2 Chronicles chapter 16 verses 2 and 3, It tells us then, Asar removed silver and gold from the treasures of the house of Jehovah. He took them out of the temple and the royal palace, and he sent them to Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, who lived in Damascus. This is a covenant between me and you, as there was between my father and your father. Here I am sending you silver and gold. Go and break your covenant with Baasha, king of Israel, so that he will leave me alone. And in verses 7 to 10 of the same chapter, it was around then that Hanani the seer came to Asar, king of Yehuda, and said to him, because you relied on the king of Aram and didn't rely on Yehovah your Elohim, the king of Aram's army has escaped from your power. The army of the Ethiopians, the Levim, was huge, wasn't it? How many chariots and horsemen did they have? Yet because you relied on Yehovah, he handed them over to you. For the eyes of Yehovah move here and there throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those who are wholeheartedly towards him. But you acted foolishly in this regard, for from now on you will have war. But Asar became angry at the seer or prophet. In fact, because of his rage at him, he threw him in prison. Moreover, at the same time, he mistreated some of the people. And we get down to verse 12. It's the 39th year of King Asar's reign. Asar suffered from a disease in his legs. It was a very serious disease. Yet even with this disease, he did not seek out Jehovah, but turned to the physicians. So he had 35 years, great. 4 years later, he's gone against Jehovah, and the curse is already happening. Asar suffered the consequences of his disobedience and came under that curse. So now let us look at King David, an ancestor of Yeshua. In Shamuel Bet, 2 Samuel 12 and verse 7, Natan said to David, this is the prophet Natan, not King Shaul's son, you are the man. Here is what Yehovah the Elohim of Israel says. I anointed you king over Israel. I rescued you from the power of Shaul. And in verse 13, David said to Natan, I have sinned against Yehovah. Natan said to David, Yehovah also has taken away your sin. You will not die. And verses in Shamuel Bet 12, 16 to 17, David prayed to Elohim on behalf of the child. David fasted, then came and lay all night on the ground. The court officials got up and stood next to him, trying to get him off the ground, but he refused and wouldn't eat food with them. David fell upon the rock at the word of the prophet, and he became a broken man. This is evidenced throughout the Psalms, especially in Tehillim 51, which is known as the Psalm of Repentance. King David's life was saved, but the child that was born out of the sin lost its life. I'm going to read the whole Psalm of 51 just to allow you to see how broken King David really was. In Psalm 51, we'll go 1 to 19. For the leader, a Psalm of David, when Natan the prophet came to him after his affair with Bathsheba. Elohim, in your grace, have mercy on me. In your great compassion, blot out my crimes. Wash me completely from my guilt and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my crimes, my sin confronts me all the time. Against you, only you have I sinned and done what is evil from your perspective, so that you are right in accusing me and justified in passing sentence. Truly, I was born guilty, was a sinner from the moment my mother conceived me. Still, you want truth in the inner person. So make me know wisdom in my inmost heart. Sprinkle me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear the sound of joy and gladness, so that the bones you crushed can rejoice. Turn away your face from my sins and blot out all my crimes. Create in me a clean heart, Elohim. Renew in me a resolute spirit, or Ruach. Don't thrust me away from your presence. Don't take your Ruach Kodesh away from me. Restore my joy in your salvation, and let a willing Ruach uphold me. Then I will teach the wicked your ways, and sinners will return to you. Rescue me from the guilt of shedding blood, Elohim, Elohim of my salvation. Then my tongue will sing about your righteousness. Yehovah, open my lips, then my mouth will praise you. For you don't want sacrifices, or I would give them. You don't take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice to Elohim is a broken Ruach. Elohim, you won't spurn a broken, chastened heart. In your good measure, make Zion prosper. Rebuild the walls of Yerushalayim. Then you will delight in righteous sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then they will offer bulls on your altar. You know, one of the best ways to read the Psalms is to personalize them. This one is personalized because King David had a broken heart and he was shedding that out to Yehovah. But I read my Psalms every day, and most of them you can personalize. You've just got to turn them around a bit and make them coming as if they're coming from your mouth, not coming from the mouth of the person who wrote them. And that is one way that you can really get close to Yehovah. Both Asaph and David had an encounter with the prophet of Yah. One resisted and became angry, while the other was broken. One died sick, seeking the comfort of physicians, while the other died as the man after Yehovah's own heart. Because Yeshua laid down his life on the stake, there is mercy for those who want to seek Yah's face and follow his mitzvot by being obedient to his Torah. But, and that is a big but, judgment is on the way. We will die and face judgment, regardless of where we're at. It is up to each or one of us as an individual to repent from any sins, especially those we have hidden, and only the individual knows what that hidden sin is. You will not get away with it, because Yah knows all. Yet there's another but. If we go to Yochanan and Aleph, or 1 John 1, 8 and 9. If we claim not to have sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we acknowledge our sin, since he is trustworthy and just, he will forgive them and purify us from all wrongdoing. We should never be ashamed to acknowledge our sin. And we all sin. We even have sins of omission, things we should have done that we didn't do, things we should have said that we didn't say. I had to go and apologize to someone as soon as I saw them today, because I had them on my heart during the week and I just didn't make the time to contact them. And Yah said, that's the first thing you've got to do when you see them. We have to acknowledge our sin. My sin was omission. I didn't contact them when Yah had them on my heart. You see, sin doesn't have to be something like killing or breaking the 10 mitzvot. It can be something small, but it's still sin if we don't do what we're told to do. As much as we love Yah, as much as we try to obey his word, we are not without sin. We have to acknowledge that. The rumbling of the rolling stone is at hand. Yeshua is returning. The rock of mercy or blessing will soon become the rock of judgment or the curse. We need to fall upon the rock of blessing and be broken, otherwise the rock or curse will fall on us and grind us to powder. So let us spend now a little bit of time just in thinking about what we should do in regard to any sin that might be bringing up in us at the moment before we start the remembrance service.